This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Scott Watley, and we appreciate you being with us. Glad to have in studio, as we do each week, Kyle O'Dell. Kyle is with O'Dell, Winkfield, Roseman & Shipp. You can check out their website, owrsfirm.com. Their number for a free consultation is 303-780-7350. Kyle, how are you, sir?
Doing great.
Great to see you.
Yeah, you too, Scott.
We're going to talk a little bit about Social Security Day. Big thing for people, and as we all know, or if you haven't heard this stat, around 10,000 people a day for the next 17 to 18 years will be turning 65. So it's not going away. Older,
right?
Unfortunately.
Yep. You know, and Social Security has been one of those things that it's become a main staple for families for retirement. So today we're going to hit on a lot of the different key points with Social Security. And in fact, if anyone wants, we'll give away a couple of, we've got some Social Security summary packets that we can email to any of our callers. If they want to call my office today, we'll give that number out here in a little bit, but they can call in and get the Social Security packet. We can email it to them, and it just gives them a lot of the highlights, you know, with Social Security as to how it works and so forth, because there are a lot of moving parts to it. And just one moving part that has a lot of pieces is just the number of ways to file. And we've talked about it a lot on this show, Scott, that you know, there are over 500 ways, approximately 567 ways for a married couple to file for Social Security. And, you know, it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to get it wrong and file and not get the most out of your benefit based on your entire financial picture.
Right.
And I think that's the big key, is most people just look at Social Security as a standalone income source, where what they really need to do is figure it into all their assets overall in terms of how does it play into my assets in terms of taxes and income, benefits for my spouse, and how does my health and my overall financial picture determine how and when I should file. There's a lot to it.
So when you sit down with people and go through the subject of Social Security, I mean, are there top, you know, two or three things that come up where they look at you and they just totally had the wrong information, and where they just, you know, they really felt like they had good information, but it was wrong?
Right. I'd say the two biggest ones are, one is the amount of benefit that they think that they're going to receive in the future.
Okay.
What they have projected for, you know, what the Social Security Administration has projected for most of us is low. And so when we go to figure that into our budget and what we're going to receive down the road, a lot of times I see families that they have numbers that are, that they're projecting are much lower than what they're truly going to be. So that's number one. The other is, you know, just as, you know, just as a society and where we're at, we're all living longer and longer. And so, you know, if, you know, and I'll have people tell me, well, Kyle, you know, I want to take my Social Security benefit at 62 or, you know, 65, whatever that is. And for really everyone that's out there, your full retirement age, which is how your benefit is, it's calculated off of what's called your full retirement age. So it's either age 66 or 67 or someplace in between there, between 66 and 67. So you should never, ever take your Social Security before your full retirement age unless there's a health problem. Okay. That's it. That's the only reason to do it. If you're taking it before then, let's look at two scenarios. Either you have money or you don't have money, okay? If you're taking it before your full retirement age and you don't have money, you retired too early, and you shouldn't be taking it. You should have kept your butt working,
right?
Period, okay? If you're taking it before your full retirement age and you do have a lot of money, you do have a lot of assets, now what you're doing is you're probably creating a tax problem down the road when it comes to all of your other assets, and you just haven't You know, you just don't have the knowledge to, you haven't drawn things out properly. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason that anyone should take it before their full retirement age. You know, and, you know, sometimes I'll get somebody say, well, Kyle, what if I take and save that money? Okay, well, show me one person that has actually taken and saved that money.
Sure.
Please step forward.
You probably wouldn't be taking it.
You wouldn't be taking it to turn and save it. It just doesn't happen. So, no, there's no reason to take it before your full retirement age. You know, so when I, you know, the two big things, you know, if you want to play the game of, well, when am I going to die? I want to get the most out of it. You know, there are different things, whether you're single or married, different factors and different ways to look at it. If you're married, especially if you're the higher income earner and you're going to receive the higher benefit, we certainly need to probably delay that benefit. If I have a husband and wife, whoever has the higher benefit, which in most instances over the years with those taking Social Security right now, a lot of times it is the male, it is the guy mm-hmm. in that relationship. So, you know, they need to delay that relationship or delay that Social Security benefit, because if one of them passes away, husband or wife, it doesn't matter who, the smaller Social Security amount, which is usually the wife in this case, is going to stop. So that larger amount is going to stay, and that larger amount is for, in this case, you know, let's say down the road, my wife and I have, I'm older than my wife, my income has been higher over the years, so I'm going to have the higher Social Security benefit. The reason I need to delay mine is because if I were to pass away, the higher benefit, which is my benefit, is going to stay in place for her. So if I care about my wife, which I do, I need to delay my benefit so that she gets the most out of it, because she's going to lose hers.
Right.
That's the key. If you ever want to take one early, take the smaller benefit between the husband and the wife, the couple. Take the smaller benefit if you're ever going to take one early.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of factors, and we're living longer and longer and longer. In fact, one of... And off the top of my head, I just came up with, you know, remembered this. So I don't remember the gentleman's name, but there's a renowned biochemist, and he's well respected and well known. And he's made a lot of predictions in terms of how our life expectancy and everything here in the U.S. And he said, you know, I was reading an article by him recently, and by 2025, he one of his comments was that around the year 2025, that baby boom generation, their life expectancy is going to be going up about 1 year for every calendar year.
Wow.
So when are we going to pass?
Right? Yeah.
So let's say he's wrong. Let's say he gets that half right. Okay. That means every year your life expectancy goes up by 6 months. I mean, you know, I look at my great-grandparents, they all passed away in their early to mid-70s. And my great-grandparents, thankfully today, you know, late 80s, I have a grandfather who's going to be 90 here in 3 weeks. You know, he's outlived his parents by 20 years. Unfortunately, he took his Social Security as early as possible.
Mm.
He made a mistake, right? But I wasn't around 30 years ago. I was too young to have that conversation with him back then. But you know, it's just one of those things that people get it stuck in their head, you know, and they like to dig in their heels. But, you know, math says don't take it before your full retirement age mm-hmm. unless your health turns south.
Right.
That's it.
Now, you mentioned this offer from your office.
Yep.
Talk about that a little bit and what that entails.
Yep. So we have an 8-page Social Security pamphlet that talks about, you know, whether you're single, married, divorced, widowed, you know, how you are able to file for Social Security. It goes through a lot of the basics on there. It talks about how to decide when you should start filing for that benefit. It talks about if you're married, should you consider delaying one of your benefits? You know, is there an impact if you attempt to take Social Security, but you're still working? Maybe you have a part-time job or full-time job. You know, how will that income affect your Social Security benefit, whether or not you can take it? You know, it talks about how is your benefit calculated based on all your years of work? You know, and that's one of the things right there. You know, I get families, it's amazing. The, you know, what's that story that we, you know, that we heard in high school or college or whatever about, you know, you tell, you're sitting on a bus and tell a rumor and you pass around the bus.
By the time it gets to the end.
By the time it gets to the end, it's just, you
total
know.
Total different.
Who knows, right? A man landed on the moon, right? It's just, it's way off base. Well, how is your Social Security benefit calculated? It's the, it's based on your 35 years, your top 35 years of income. That's why when you, so let's keep this simple here. So I'll prove it to those skeptics here. When you receive your Social Security statement, why in the world do you think that they, when you open it up and you look on the right-hand side, they list out all those years of income? They don't put that in there just for the heck of it.
Mm-hmm.
That lists out your 35 years of income. It's all in there so that you can verify that information. You always want to go back every year and verify, is this information correct based on my tax return? And because your Social Security benefit is based on your top 35 years of income. Now, let's say, Scott, that you work 32 years. Well, that means we have some zeros in there. So those zeros will impact that benefit greatly.
Sure.
So even, let's say that, you know, I work 32 years and I want to retire. Well, it would actually have a fairly strong impact on your Social Security just for you to keep a part-time job and go make $10,000, $12,000, $15,000, $20,000 next year. You know, that will add to that Social Security benefit and greatly enhance it. It will certainly help. So it's based on your top 35 years. So that pamphlet that we're going to give away, it talks about how your benefit's calculated, all the different ways to file. It'll hit on some of that. So we'll give that away. If any of the callers want to call our office today, we just simply need your email address and your name, and we'll email that out to you. So our office number, 303-780-7350. So 303-780-7350. Call our office and just simply ask for that Social Security pamphlet. We'll email that out to you. No cost, no obligation. We'll kick that out to our listeners.
Sounds like a good deal. 303-780-7350. This is Haystack Help Radio.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the asset manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Hi, I'm Lindsay. A few months ago, I was in an accident. I totaled my car. They were just going too fast, and it was icy right there. It was his fault, but it wasn't anyone's fault. That's why it's called an accident, right? I was so sore. Not at first, but like days later. I had to go to the hospital. I have always heard about the things insurance companies do when this kind of thing happens, but didn't know how bad it really was. I needed an attorney. I called Flesh and Beck, and man, I'm glad I did. From the first call all the way to the settlement, Kevin was there for me. It was like having my own personal attorney. He really got to know me, and he knew everything about my case. There is no way I would have gotten that big of a settlement if I hadn't called. I definitely recommend calling Flesh and Beck if you've been in an accident. Definitely.
Hi, I'm Kevin Flesh from Flesh and Beck Law. At Flesh and Beck, you get real, sincere, personal service from attorneys that actually care about you and your case. Call us, Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886. 303-806-8886.
You've been told nothing can be done for your peripheral neuropathy. Don't give up hope. Call Dr. Dean Anderson, chiropractor at Front Range Medical Center, to ask about electronic signaling. For the past 9 years, Dr. Anderson has specialized exclusively in the treatment of peripheral neuropathy. Front Range Medical Center can't help everyone, but thanks to an advanced technology called electronic signaling, Dr. Anderson has seen great results for seniors who'd been told there was no hope for them. That's what Dr. Anderson loves most about his job, seeing the hope return to patients who had been suffering with burning, tingling, and numbness. It's worth a phone call. Schedule a $27 consultation with Dr. Anderson, including a neuropathy-specific exam, this week. He will review your health history and past medical records to find out whether electronic signaling could help where other treatments have failed. Don't lose heart. Call now, 720-851-9694, 720-851-9694.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Whatley here with Kyle Odell. Check out their website, owrsfirm.com, and their number 303-780-7350. If you're just joining us, Kyle had a great offer here at the last of our first segment, and this is a pamphlet on Social Security. It's about an 8-page pamphlet. It just will give you a ton of information about Social Security and a lot of different things. If you missed it, there are over 500 ways a married couple can apply for Social Security and a lot of ramifications if you do something wrong that can cost you a lot of money. So give his office a call. Just mention you heard him here on Haystack Help Radio, and they'll get you fixed up. 303-780-7350. So, Kyle, one thing we always hear is, you know, how long is Social Security going to be around? Will it even be around when I retire? What is the horizon look like for that?
Yep. That's a great question, Scott. You know, so I get that one all the time that, you know, well, what if it goes away tomorrow? It's not going to. So, you know, if you look at the media loves to, you know, blow things up, right?
Works into a frenzy, right?
Right. Yeah. Yep. So, you know, especially this time of year. So, you know, if you look at it, the Social Security Administration, they have more dollars coming in than they do going out. That program is set that, even if there are no changes made to it, it's set to be just fine between now and 2036, so another 18 years. Now, at the end of those 18 years, at that point, what would happen is that it's projected that the Social Security Trust Fund, approximately around that time period, you know, maybe a little before, maybe a little after, but that it's set to be exhausted. But there's still enough money coming in, meaning from, you know, each employee out there. So, you know, for example, in my office, all my employees, you know, they, anyone that has an income, and this goes for everyone, anyone that has an income below approximately $128,000, which is the Social Security cap in terms of taxes, anyone below that pays a 6.2% tax. So every employee, all of us out there, pay a 6.2% tax on all income that's below $128,000. Then your employer pays an additional 6.2% tax on top of that. So you have almost 12.5% of every dollar going into the Social Security system. Mm-hmm. Even if that fund, that trust fund, had exhausted itself, there wasn't any money in there, there's enough money coming in from taxes to still pay out approximately $3 out of every $4 that are due down the road in 2036. Okay. So at this point, I mean, we know how Congress handles things. This isn't on this week's agenda. It's not something that they're going to fix this week, right? They're going to fix it on December 17th, 2035.
Right.
You know, it'll be a last minute thing, but in order to fix it, they can make, there are a couple of slight adjustments that they can make to fix it, to fund it from here on out, and it wouldn't be an issue. So I don't see that as being an issue down the road. But here's, I mean, let's apply something to this. For families that are, you know, we're all concerned about Social Security and I've got to have it and it's got to be there for me, then you better get it right in terms of filing. If it's that important to you and you're going to get worked up about, is it going to be there and I need it and so forth, well, then let's get it right in terms of how you're going to file for it. Mm-hmm. You know, the average person, when they come in my office, I ask them, you know, how do you want to file? You tell me how and when you're going to file. I'll run it your way. And then we'll run it based on all of your assets, taxes, based on our recommendations and everything. On average, it's about a $200,000 difference over someone's lifetime, the payout on that Social Security benefit. So it's a significant benefit. Plus, Social Security is taxed differently and better than most of your other assets. I'd rather have more income coming in from an asset that's taxed differently and better,
sure,
than my IRAs and 401ks.
You just mentioned about tax and IRS, and that's a question a guy asked me last week. If somebody's in some tax issues and they owe let's say, some past taxes. Yep. They start getting their Social Security check. Is that something the IRS can go after?
Yes. Yes, they can go after, you know, that benefit. Now, I don't know all the details.
Sure, I realize. Yeah.
Yep. I don't know all the details on exactly how that's calculated and how they do it. But to an extent, yes, they can go after those benefits.
Right.
Yeah. So that is something that you do want to, if you do have some back taxes, to reach out to the IRS. And a lot of times they'll, you know, they're going to work with you on coming up with some payment arrangements. So I would certainly work on that.
Because at some point, if you don't reach out to them, they will reach out to you.
They will reach out. Yes.
Now, sometimes you hear some people talking about Social Security and they go, well, I can't go get this job or whatever because, you know, I'll earn too much and I can't get my mm-hmm. benefit. Yep. Any confusion or things to set straight there?
Yeah. You know, it goes back to, I think there are two pieces of that. One is, again, I would, you know, I'm not telling everyone 100% of the, you know, listeners not to file before their full retirement age. But in most instances, it does not make sense to file for Social Security before your full retirement age. Your full retirement age is all based on the year that you were born. So it's between age 66 and age 67 for all of us. That's when Social Security looks at you and says, this is your full retirement age to get your Social Security benefit. So let's say mine is age 66. Then if I file for my Social Security benefit before my full retirement age, in this case, age 66. If I file for Social Security before that, then, depending on whether I'm single or married, I can only have a certain amount of income coming in before it starts to take away and decrease my Social Security benefit. Those dollar amounts, they change every year. The Social Security Administration, they update those numbers. So as we're looking at them, just to give you some rough numbers based on what that is. So if I do that prior to my full retirement age, you know, if I earn $17,000 of income, then I, you know, that's going to start taking away from my Social Security benefit. So if I file at age 62 for Social Security, I can get that benefit as long as my income stays below approximately $17,000. If I start earning more money than $17,000, it's going to start taking that away. So you've got to be real careful about that. But here's a key, Scott. Once you get to your full retirement age, 66 or 67, once I get to that, then you can earn as much income as you want and have your full retirement Social Security benefit coming in. You can have both.
Right.
So, you know, Warren Buffett, you know, back when he was, you know, at his full retirement age, you know, if he's making $10 million a year, whatever it is, he can have any income coming in that he wants. Once he reaches his full retirement age, he can have that full Social Security benefit coming in.
Right.
It's just before that, before your FRA, that full retirement age, it starts taking it away.
Once again, if you'd like this free brochure from Kyle's office, all you have to do is call his office, 303-780-7350. This is a brochure on Social Security that will give you a lot of information. And once you get that, Kyle offers a free consultation. All you have to do is give him a call, and he will sit down with you and kind of work through this, because this can be a great program, but if you don't understand it all and why and when and how and to do things, Kyle, it can, you know.
It can really make a big impact. I mean, let me give you an example. So I was reading something yesterday, and I saw that, you know, it was this pilot was talking about taking off, the importance of having a plan. He was talking about taking off from the LA airport and flying to New York to LaGuardia. And he said, look, when we take off, if our plane is just off by 6 degrees, that's it, a tiny little 6 degrees, that we would end up in Miami, Florida. Think about that. Wow. The difference when you leave LA and you're flying to New York, if that plane is off by 6 degrees, you are not going to end up in New York. You're going to end up in Miami, Florida, potentially. Hmm. Right? So who's piloting your plane? Right? So with this, you know, what I would always want to look at is when we're looking at over 500 ways to file for a married couple, the typical person will leave, you know, six figures on the table when it comes to Social Security over their lifetime. Let's get a plan. Sure. And so part of our plan, part of what we do is a Social Security analysis, but that Social Security analysis, we need to, in order to give you advice and look at how to do things properly, you know, we look at What are all your other assets? Do we have income coming in from rental properties and pensions and IRAs and 401ks? Because, you know, when you get to 70 and a half, we have required minimum distributions. You have to start withdrawing money from those IRAs. So as that money's coming in, how is that going to impact you? You know, we're looking at what does your health look like overall? What's the age difference between you and your spouse? There are a lot of factors that we want to take into account here in order to figure out how and when to properly take Social Security. There's a difference, Scott, in simply maximizing Social Security. If I said, Scott, I want you to maximize Social Security, well, that's really simple. You just take it at age 70. There's a difference between maximizing Social Security and optimizing Social Security. Optimizing comes down to how and when to file based on your age, your taxes, your assets, the difference between your age, your spouse's age, your income. We look at everything across there so that we can optimize Social Security. Our analysis may come back and say, Scott, you need to take your benefit at age 68 and 8 months, and your wife needs to maybe take hers at age 70 or maybe at her full retirement age. You know, every situation is different. You know, it's like if you sit down with, I think most people try and apply the same knowledge and information that their neighbor took. You know, well, I talked to my brother-in-law, I talked to my coworker, I talked to my neighbor, and this is when they took it, so this is when they took their Social Security, so that's when I'm going to take it. Well, Scott, if your neighbor's taking a prescription drug, are you going to go into your doctor and say, hey, right, my neighbor's taking this drug, and he's awfully happy now.
Yeah.
Right? No, I need to take, can I get the same thing? No. Our health and our financial situation are just as unique. It, you know, between us is, you know, our financial situation is just as unique as our health between, you know, each individual person. You need to apply different things, different concepts, different principles in your unique financial situation, just like you would with your health.
Right. And, you know, we're out of time, but when you look at all this whole retirement planning, this is one piece of it. But it's a big, I mean,
it's a big one. It's a big one. You know, the equivalent, like if I were a husband and wife, and let's say we had $40,000 a year coming in from Social Security, that'd be the equivalent of, you know, probably about an $800,000 lump sum that was sitting in a pension fund or in an annuity. Annuities and pensions are the exact same thing. I don't know why everyone gets their panties in a bunch about an annuity when they love their pensions. So, you know, if we look at it, if I've got 800 grand in a pension, let's say I worked for Ford and Ford put 800 grand in there for me and they're going to pay me 40 grand a year when I retire, I'd be real careful to make the right decisions with that 800 grand.
Sure.
Right? Same thing with Social Security. There's no difference in there other than Social Security is taxed differently and better. So maybe I'd even pay more attention to it. It's simple.
Once again, if you'd like to get this Social Security brochure from Kyle's office, all you have to do is give him a call, 303-780-7350. Just mention you heard Kyle here on Haystack Health Radio, and they will get that to you. And once again, it's a free consultation. Take advantage of that. 303-780-7350, owrsfirm.com. We'll be right back.
Why are seniors obtaining a reverse mortgage? No mortgage payments, of course. Hello, this is Steve Hurley with Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. You can live in your home for as long as you wish. It is your home. It's your money. So call me, Steve Hurley, at AIM. 720-895-0500. Let's discuss your options. No pressure, just education via information. NMLS number 243200, regulated by DORA, an equal opportunity lender.
David R. Cishon is a certified estate planner, regional vice president of Householder Group, and a registered representative with LPL Financial. David Cishon knows that building a secure financial plan begins with comprehensive strategies in estate planning, income distribution, tax and investment planning, and risk management. Cishon Financial is a family business, and they treat their clients like family. Cishon Financial holds to the highest fiduciary standards, representing their clients' interest above all else. Call now for your free consultation, 720-482-1917, 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And we welcome you to Your Health Matters. My name is Scott Watley, along with Marie Christine. And we are looking forward to our show today. First of all, Marie, how are you?
Doing well. How about you, Scott?
I'm doing good. Man, it's hard to believe. April's right around the corner.
I know. It's officially spring now, right?
Rockies opening day, April 5th. I will be sick. Here. Yes.
We won't be looking for Scott that day.
Absolutely. Well, again, it is Your Health Matters, and today we are glad to have Dr. Perry Maynard with us. Dr. Maynard, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, always good to have you on. And boy, you guys have been busy, and even since the first year, been doing a lot of different seminars. And I know Jess is wrapping up her last one, and it was due to end last Wednesday, but with our blizzard a couple of weeks ago, y'all extended it one more time. So that is that this Thursday or Wednesday? Wednesday.
Wednesday,
right. Yeah.
So it's this Wednesday is the last class.
Right, at 6:30.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Wednesday at 6:30. And yep. We'll talk about that before we get out of here today. But again, all you have to do is call, reserve your seat. It is absolutely free of charge, just a chance to really get in and get to know the fine folks here at Integrated Health Systems. And we'll talk about that before we get out. But their number is 303-781-5617. Well, we are wrapping up March, and again, this has been the Traumatic Brain Injury Awareness Month. And I was kind of looking at some figures here today before the show, and I had no idea, and I don't know if you agree with this number or not, but I pulled up an article, and it said 2.5 million people sustain a traumatic brain injury annually. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, and I honestly wouldn't be surprised if the number was far higher, you know, because I think I see so many patients who come in who maybe went to the emergency room or the hospital and someone just gave them a clean bill of health when there was still a lot wrong, you know, and
yep.
Those probably won't even be categorized as concussions or mild traumatic brain injury. So I wouldn't be surprised if that number is far higher.
Now, Dr. Maynard, when people hear the word traumatic, they think something huge and horrible happened. But is it true that you can actually have a quote-unquote traumatic brain injury just from sort of a small bump on the head?
Totally, definitely. So, you know, you can talk about this in some of my lectures and talks. If you actually look at, so there's something called the Berlin Consensus Statement. And each few years, a group of all the top concussion experts get together from around the world. They review all the research to say, what is a concussion and what is effective in rehabbing a concussion? And they actually discuss that you don't even need to hit your head to have a concussion.
Oh.
Right? So anything that's going to cause some sort of jarring effect to your body that causes your head to move, so whiplash or something like that, can cause a head injury as well. So you don't even necessarily have to hit your head on anything to get a head injury.
Okay, so this makes me wonder about those amusement park rides that people go on all the time. I'm thinking of, you know, I love Lakeside Amusement Park, but some of those roller coasters are a little rickety, and your head definitely bumps around. Have you ever seen somebody just doing something fun and ended up with an injury?
Definitely. Actually, I've seen a patient. She was on a roller coaster ride, and she actually ended up passing out at the top of, you know, where you're going up and coming down. And so when she passed out and she went down on the roller coaster, her head just bobbled around like a bobblehead.
Oh, no.
And just hit side to side.
Wow.
On like, you know, the straps that come down, and suffered a really bad concussion from her head being whipped around, hitting the roller coaster.
So you got to know yourself, Scott, before you go on those rides. That's why they have all those warnings.
Make sure you ate or you had eaten something, got enough sleep so you don't pass out on one.
Sure. Well, you said, Marie, doing something fun. You've heard of Jeff Foxworthy, how you know you're a redneck, right?
How do you know you're a redneck?
If anybody in your family ever died after saying, hey, watch this, you may be a redneck. So, no, it can happen. And, you know, we were also looking at some percentages here, and it said from 2010 to 2015, it increased 43%. So, I mean, what do you think caused all that increase?
You know, I think part of it is us recognizing. So, you know, I can speak at least, you know, for my generation, even though I was younger, or what I feel like my parents' generation, you know, if you look 50 years ago, you know, you hit your head, you bump your head, your nose is bleeding, right? They say dust it off, it's not a big deal. I think we're just becoming more and more aware of how serious head injuries are and how little it really takes for them to occur. So I think if anything, it's more recognition that they're actually occurring. You know, I think from a sports perspective, they are occurring more often now because I think the technology that's out there for helmets, although great, is what's also leading to worsening head injuries. Because now people have this sense that they're protected, so you now have people hitting harder. They're stronger, you know, because they think they're being protected by this helmet when they really aren't. Versus if you look at, you know, rugby players and things like that, right, they have to tackle in a totally different manner than, say, an NFL player.
And is that because the rugby players are trying to protect their brains and the football players aren't?
Well, exactly. I mean, if you think about it, if you don't have a helmet on and you're going to tackle someone, you're not going to lead with your head or really purposely want to hit them with your head. You're going to find other ways to maneuver your body onto their body to take them down. Versus in football, you know, and I played college football, so, you know, I'm aware of this, is you have this false sense of protection. Mm-hmm. So you think, oh, I can just run my head as fast as I can into this lineman and I'll be okay. You know, so I think it's just the equipment that makes us, that protects us, gives us this false sense of too much protection that then we just, you know, we hit in manners that aren't appropriate.
So just because you're wearing a helmet doesn't mean you're safe from concussions.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and if you look at, I mean, I'm 60 years old. You look at when we grew up, man, you'd have had a helmet on riding a bike, you would have been completely teased out of the neighborhood. You know, I mean, man, we didn't wear a thing. And now you see all these, the kids, you know, whether on their scooters, all the different things with helmets, and yet we're seeing this big increase. So, yeah, what you're saying makes sense.
Yeah, I definitely think it's more of a recognition and really paying attention to, you know, if someone's got a headache after hitting their head, it may not just be nothing, right? Because how often do we hear, you know, I know I used to hear from my trainers, I'd tell them, hey, you know, I've had a headache for the past 3 weeks. And they'd say, well, you're just getting used to hitting again. And I'd say, oh, yeah, you're probably right. You know, just like it doesn't make sense. You know, there's a headache there for a reason, because I was hitting my head repeatedly, you know, causing trauma. Hmm.
So that's a good I'm curious about what are the symptoms. So when you have a head injury and you may not even realize it, what does that feel like?
Definitely. So I'd say the most common symptoms I see are light sensitivity, sound sensitivity, right? So you might need to feel like you need to wear glasses outside or even glasses inside. Dizziness. Dizziness is probably one of the most common symptoms I see. So either vertigo, i.e. I feel like things are moving on me, or I just feel unsteady on my feet, or I feel dizzy when I stand up. Headaches. Headaches is a huge one, I'd say. And then just kind of mental fatigue and brain fog, where you just don't feel sharp. Things just don't seem to be clicking. Maybe your memory's just not as sharp. It may not be obvious, but it may just be little subtle things to where I feel like I'm in a fog all the time. So I'd say dizziness, headaches, and things like brain fog are probably the most common symptoms you see.
Hmm. Okay, so I have a sort of personal question here, because I started doing this great program with Dr. Stedman and Jess where I'm trying to fix some recurring migraines that I have. So we have this whole diet plan going, and I'm doing these exercises with my eyes where I look around at my thumb in different places in the air, and it's supposed to cure something that's going on in my brain, which is very cool. But so this past week, I've been very consistent about doing my eye exercises, and I am actually having a lot of the symptoms that you just described. So does that mean, is that like brain fatigue or what's going on there?
So it can be brain fatigue, and without totally knowing exactly, you know, what you guys are doing, it's hard to say, but it can definitely be brain fatigue. So I'll just, an example of, you know, head injury patients is, you know, if you're using a certain exercise to push a part of the brain, right, or to rehab a part of the brain, that part of the brain is probably already fragile as it is. So just like a muscle, if you push it too hard, it can make things a little bit worse, right? So if your leg is weak and you're doing strengthening exercises to strengthen it, if you do just enough exercise, right, it feels even better. Mm-hmm. If you push it too much, you start to revert back to how it was feeling before. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, so that's good to be aware of, kind of recognizing, because I didn't even know that that's what brain fatigue felt like. So kind of recognizing how many reps should I be doing of each brain exercise, which actually is something Dr. Sebman has said. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Brain fatigue is a huge thing, and brain rehab is not something that you want to push through. You know, a lot of people have that mentality with working out of, you know, no pain, no gain, work harder. Brain exercise is the opposite. You want to be very delicate. You want to do just enough, but not too much.
Gotcha.
Dr. Perry Maynard is our guest. Again, this is Integrated Health Systems. You can check out their website, integratedhealthdenver.com. They do a free consultation for our listeners here on Your Health Matters. All you have to do is call 303-781-5617. So, you know, it really starts out with the proper diagnosis that you mentioned earlier, because, you know, I can just see it at a lot of emergency rooms and all different things. I mean, it'd be very easy to kind of get passed over and not get the proper diagnosis. And that's why we tell everybody with you guys, man, you're the best of both worlds. I mean, you know, with the neurology, chiropractic side, the brain side and versus the body and all the things, you just got to get that proper diagnosis.
Definitely. I totally agree. That is very key early on because it sets the tone for recovery and recovering faster. So,
and the nice thing about integrated health systems when it comes to the diagnosis is you have the whole team working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're all talking with each other with their different areas of expertise. And that's why I think they're able to get to the root of the issue, maybe more so than your typical doctor who sees you for 20 minutes.
Right. And, you know, one other thing I read here, Dr. Maynard, it says traumatic brain injury is a major cause of death and disability in the United States, contributing to about 30% of all injury deaths, according to the Centers for Disease Control.
Whoa.
So this is something when we say can be serious, you don't want to ignore any of the symptoms we just talked about.
No, definitely not. And that's the big thing to know, too, is, you know, there's a big difference between, you know, milder concussions and serious traumatic brain injuries where there can be things like brain bleeds, right? That's ultimately the big thing you have to worry about early on in a head injury is there some sort of bleed in my brain, right? So, you know, most patients we see, unfortunately, they're weeks after concussion, months after concussion, years after concussion. You really don't have to worry about a bleed because if they had a bleed, they'd be dead by now.
Sure.
You know, or I hope someone would have already caught it. But yeah, when you look at a lot of those stats, that's looking more at, you know, when patients or individuals experience swelling or some sort of bleed in their brain, which can be very, very serious.
You know, sometimes you've heard things when people do take a blow to the head that you want to keep them awake. Is that just something that's not true, a wise tale, so to speak? Or what is the deal, like if somebody has, you know they took a blow to the head, keeping them, you know, aware and keeping them awake?
Yeah, I mean, so the big things is you don't necessarily have to, you know, keep someone in a bright room and not allow them to sleep, but definitely checking it, waking them up, seeing how things are looking, because, you know, in those first, I'd say 48 to 72 hours, it's really important to monitor them and, you know, ultimately get them worked up by someone because you do worry about the possibility of a bleed. You know, once you get past those multi-day week period, you're usually pretty safe of, if nothing's happened by then, nothing's going to happen, right? Now you have symptoms that are, you know, they're annoying, but they're not necessarily life-threatening at the time. So, no, that is a good thing to do is to, you know, periodically wake them up because, you know, sometimes you do have the concern that if there is a bleed or if there is swelling, that if they go to sleep, they could end up in a coma or something like that.
Right.
So, no, it's not a bad idea to definitely, you know, it's always good to kind of monitor them, you know, make sure symptoms aren't regressing. Make sure, if anything, they're getting a little bit better each day. You know, it's when you get worried is when things are kind of not getting better and they seem to be spiraling downhill and things like that.
All right. You're listening to Your Health Matters. My name is Scott Watley, along with Marie Christine. Dr. Perry Maynard is our guest. Once again, we want to mention this Wednesday at 6:30 will be the last part of their five-part series on the microbiome coming at 6:30. Again, all you have to do is call 303-781-5617, 303-781-5617 to reserve your seat. And don't worry about it. If you've missed the other ones, they'll catch you up. But this is a great series on really checking out the gut and the brain and all the things we're talking about here as well. And again, that's with Jess Sorcey, and she's the metabolic coordinator there for Integrative Health Systems. Dr. Maynard will be right back with us. We got to take a short break. We'll be back with more.
Ladies, I know you're tired of walking into the local gun store and seeing the same old thing. So let me tell you about Rampart Firearms. Just a quarter mile up Highway 67 off of Santa Fe and Sedalia, you will find a great selection of guns, ammo, tactical, and personal defense weapons. And if you or your spouse love to hunt, Rampart Firearms is a great stop for all of your hunting needs. Shotguns, rifles, pistols, anything from predator hunting to your next big game trip. Head to Rampart Firearms at the foot of the Rockies. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And you will only pay a 4% tax on your purchase. RampartFirearms.com, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050.
Got a road trip planned for getting ready for your next outdoor adventure? Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at D&D Tire Service. At D&D Tire Service in Parker and Aurora, they understand automotive issues can be a headache, and they never come at a convenient time. D&D Tire Service is family-owned and operated and is truly your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. All tires are reduced, and for a limited time, there are some great rebates saving you up to $200. From belts to tires, wiper blades, oil changes, D&D Tire Service has you covered. For the location nearest you, call 303-699-7337. That's 303-699-7337. D&D Tire Service is the official auto repair shop of Sportsman of Colorado Radio. Let D&D Tire Service keep you and your family safe on the roads. DndTireService.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Trisna, owner of M4 Roofing and Gutters. We work with your insurance company, and you can rest assured that your roofing project will be finished on time and on budget. We understand the difficulties and stress that damage to your home's roof can bring. Let the highly trained staff at M4 Roofing and Gutters come out and give you a free inspection and estimate for your roofing project. Call today, 303-797-8600. That's 303-797-8600. Or visit us online at m4roofing.com. M4 Roofing and Gutters is an A-plus member of the Better Business Bureau and haystackhelp.com.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. Let me tell you what I love about Stack Optical. They are truly one of the last optician-owned, family-owned optical stores. At Stack Optical, you can be confident you'll receive personal attention. For over 50 years, Alan Stack has shown he really cares about making his customers happy. Stack Optical also has a beautiful new location at 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. Free and easy up-close parking. Stack Optical has an on-site eyeglass production lab. Whether you need office eyewear or a new set of shooting or golf glasses, Stack Optical has the solution with the Stack Sport Pack. Give them a call today and ask for their $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Your eyes and vision are one of the most important things in life. I'm confident at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference. That's 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Your Health Matters. My name is Scott Watley, along with Marie Christine. Dr. Perry Maynard is our guest, Integrated Health Systems. Give them a call, 303-781-5617. Hey, Dr. Maynard, real quick here, I want to talk about it. It says, in this article I was reading, it says, what you're looking for that will someone will act differently, you know, with a traumatic brain injury, than what their baseline is. Now, unless we've had some kind of injury, Marie, I don't know if you know what your baseline is. I have no idea what mine is. So should people just come in to get a baseline? So if something ever does happen, you have that, or how does that work?
Definitely. So, yeah, so that's actually something that we offer and that we do with a lot of athletes. But, yeah, I think baseline testing is great because it gives you an idea of, okay, what may be the deficit. So, you know, with our baseline testing, what's cool is we do a lot of, like, computerized balance testing and then a lot of different things to track different types of eye movements. What's cool about both of those things is they're both reflexive, right? You can't cheat them. So an example of another baseline test is something called the impact test, which is given to a lot of athletes. And there's been a lot of debate about whether athletes can sandbag that test or to cheat that test, right? Purposely make themselves do worse than they would like to do, right? So that if they get a concussion, it doesn't get, you know, picked up. So we do a lot of testing to where it's looking at different reflexes from the brain that you really have no control over. So we may say, hey, these reflexes all look pretty good. And then you go out, you bang your head, you come back, and we say, whoa, those reflexes are all off now. Now we have a good baseline to get you back to where you were before, or to know what systems might have gotten damaged from the head injury.
So in other words, you want to be able to see what normal looks like, because maybe that's different for each individual?
Oh, yeah, and I would argue that it's definitely different for each individual, for sure.
Okay, I never thought about that. One person might have naturally different eye movements than another person.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes it's hard to say, you know, we always say what's normal, but most of the time, most people have some sort of a little bit of dysfunction going on, but at least from that point moving on, you know that if things are getting worse, you can start to say, oh, okay, it might have been that head injury, or, you know, they may hit their head, you come back, and all of them still look great. You can probably say, hey, I don't think that affected you too bad.
I think Dr. Maynard just said we're both dysfunctional, Scott.
Yes. All right. Now, you know, it's easier. Hey, adults, we can certainly tell what we're feeling and look at some of these symptoms you talked about. But in this article I was reading, it talked about children's symptoms. It says infants and young children with brain injuries might not be able to communicate the headaches, sensory problems, confusion, and similar symptoms. So in a child, you know, the TBI can be, boy, easily overlooked if you don't have someone like yourselves that are trained in this.
Yeah, definitely. And you see that a lot of times, even with kids, if they don't really know how to articulate their symptoms, right? So the parents are kind of confused. The parents don't know if they're faking it, if it's real. You can tell the kid's in distress, but they have a real hard time saying what they're feeling. So I would totally agree. You know, adults, they have more of a developed brain. It's easier for them to say what they feel versus kids. They don't quite as much, and that's where some of this baseline testing is really cool, is that I don't need you to talk to me. All I need you to do is stand on this platform and try to stay as stable as you can, or track this target from left to right, up and down, and then I can look and see, okay, yep, here are the issues here and here. So that's what's really cool about the data, especially with kids, is, you know, you don't need to worry about them being able to communicate how they're feeling. You can normally see things and say, this makes sense why you're dizzy. This makes sense why you have headaches.
So would you say a lot of these symptoms, there is hope and they are correctable, or sometimes is it something that you're just going to have to teach them how to live with it?
Both. So, you know, both situations I run into, you know, daily, I'd say, you know, a lot of symptoms can be, it depends on the severity, a lot of the symptoms can be managed. And a lot of them can go away, right? And there's things that can be done to go away. So I'd say, you know, some of the top symptoms that I see go away the most often are dizziness. Rarely do I see dizziness stay around if someone's worked up appropriately. If managed appropriately, dizziness can be something that can definitely be gotten rid of. Same with headaches, same with fatigue, and even memory issues and things like that. Now, granted, you know, if someone suffers a more severe head injury where they suffer a brain bleed that, you know, takes out a part of their brain, that's a different story. So I think the point I should make is there's a difference between a traumatic brain injury and then more of a mild traumatic brain injury or concussion, to where one is there's actual maybe swelling or, you know, bleeding in the actual brain versus, you know, a lot of times what you see with concussions is there's no apparent damage, right? What happens is that the connections between different hubs in your brain become disrupted. So it almost becomes an issue with like functional connectivity, that these areas of the brain can no longer really communicate and understand what each other are saying. So it's my job to improve that communication. When that's what's going on, symptoms are much easier to fix than if brain tissue is, dead or something like that.
And that's something really encouraging, Dr. Maynard, for somebody listening right now who maybe has been dealing with dizziness or headaches or fatigue for a long time and never really knew why or did anything about it. That can go away. It can get better. And it's a free consultation.
Yep.
Integrated health systems.
And I would advise anyone that, because most of them are, people are just going to say deal with it. Until you've really met with someone who's done a thorough workup, and you've gone through, bouts of treatments and therapies, maybe at that point. But I'd say there's definitely hope. We see it every day. So
sure. And in closing, we'll just say this. Don't ignore symptoms. When something feels wrong, get to your doctor. Give Dr. Maynard and them a call, 303-781-5617, because I'm sure you've never had anyone, come in and say, like, oh, well, I just wanted to come in. It's only happened 30 minutes ago. I mean, most time people have put up with different things and, they waited so long and you could have probably helped them quicker and they could have gotten out of care quicker had they come in.
Yep. Oh, 100%. I think the time is of the essence. It's so important. People can save themselves a lot of trouble by just getting the help they need early on.
Right. Well, Dr. Maynard, hey, thanks for spending a few minutes with us. I know you guys are busy, and we'll look forward to having you on Your Health Matters once again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Dr. Perry Maynard, Integrated Health Systems, integratedhealthdenver.com, 303-781-5617. Marie, I think you hit it right on the head. We talked about the traumatic. People think they got to pass out or, head's got to be bleeding. It doesn't.
It could just mean you have some headaches.
Absolutely. So give them a call, 303-781-5617.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation. 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Stedman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.